Welcome to the Black Hereford Chronicles with Jen Hill. Join me for insightful conversations and interviews about our cattle industry. Here we discuss the shared struggles and successes of this life we've chosen as ranchers. Here we seek to learn from the experts around us, eager to grow and challenge the accepted. Here we are, the Black Hereford Chronicles.
I've got one sale report for you today. The Ipsen Cattle Company sale was last week. Their four Black Hereford bulls averaged $4,150. Congratulations to Mark and Becky. That really did look like a great sale, and they had some really nice looking animals in there. Today's episode, I wanted to dig into production sales a little bit. It's bull sale season. We're all evaluating this year. Do I want to keep doing my bulls the way I am? Whether that's private treaty, online sale, production sale, we're constantly evaluating if we're selling bulls the way that works best for us. So I brought on Chad Jones, who is in the midst of preparing for his first ever production sale. And I figured somebody that's doing that is learning a lot, right? Anytime you try something new, you're learning a ton. And I thought if we could just get in his head for a little bit and nab some of that information from him, it might help some of us make decisions about how we want to do bulls next year. We might pick up some tips about how to do our own production sales better. So I brought Chad on to talk about that. Before I jump into that, though, I want to remind everybody that if you're selling Black Hereford animals, there is a Facebook group that is designed to help you do just that. The Registered American Black Hereford Cattle Group has over 4,000 members, and the only thing that are allowed on there are Black Hereford cattle for sale, registered Black Hereford cattle. So if you're looking to purchase, if you're dipping your toes in the Black Hereford water, or you're marketing some animals right now, make sure you're in that group and using it. All right, let's dig in. I'm back with another episode of the Black Hereford Chronicles, and today I figured let's talk about sales. We're in sale season, right? And everybody is pushing bulls and selling bulls, and it's the time of year where we all kind of sit back and ponder if the way we're doing it is really the way we want to do it. Is it the most efficient way? And we dream about the ways that we wish we could do it. And I think for a lot of breeders, a production sale is kind of that big pie in the sky dream of someday I'm going to be able to put together my own production sale. So I brought on a guest today who is in the midst of planning and pulling together his very first production sale. And I figured what a great opportunity to pick somebody's brain who is learning a ton as he's in the middle of planning this very first one. So Chad, will you please introduce yourself to our audience? I know you've been on before, but it's been a while. So tell everybody who you are and where you guys are located and a little bit about what you're doing in the Black Hereford business.
Yeah, definitely. So my name's Chad Jones. We own and operate Crescent Hill Black Herefords. My wife, my three kids, and then my mom and dad, as well as a little bit of some partnerships with some family members. We got about 145 mama cows, kind of depending on the day. we got into Black Herefords in 2012. And it was really just kind of out of a, I always had cattle before, had commercial, went up to actually Jane and Ranch, bought our first bull, fell in love with him. And then that fall decided we'd hop in and bought our first 10 cows and kind of went from that small breeder up to, I think top five in registration numbers last year, and which has kind of led us to the discussion we're going to have tonight, like production sale versus private treaty.
So that's what I want to dig into. You have been private treaty up till now, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We sold everything, heifers, bulls, private treaty off the farm. I think last year we sold about 50 bulls off the farm and about 30 heifers.
It's a lot of work. And that's not to say that a production sale isn't a lot of work, because it is.
Yeah. It's like two totally different kinds of lot of work.
Yes. It's like with a sale, there's an end date. And sometimes private treaty, it feels like this will never be done.
And honestly, I think that's kind of what drove us to go into a production cell is as we increased on the number of bulls. It felt like I was selling and pushing bulls from March until December, really. I mean, that's just, you know, we'd have some left over. And not that they were bad bulls, but when you have 50 bulls and they're just, and you're selling one or two at a time, it just takes a long time, you know, and that adds feed input costs as you go through. And so that was actually kind of our, you know, major deciding factor was this is just taking forever for this to happen.
So one of the things that I always ponder about is that sweet spot. I feel like there's got to be a sweet spot there where things kind of tilt towards, yes, a production sale is worth going ahead and rolling with this time. Did you really think about what that number would be, about how many head it was going to take? What kind of research did you find on that?
Yeah. So I kind of, well, I, so the prior year with this, we almost had a production sale last year.
Oh, this is when you're going to get into your heartbreaking story. You got to tell this one.
Okay. So we had decided, and I talked to Dustin Layton. We had a date picked out. We were ready to go. My cousin, it's Hidden Rock Ranch, and we do a lot of partnerships with, and he was putting up it's going to be a beautiful barn. It's still kind of going up right now, but we're ready to go. We have enough up to be able to have a sale. He had all of the lumber up and was starting to put the sheeting on the roof, and it was the day after Thanksgiving. We had a windstorm, and it blew his barn down, and it just was so deflating to him personally, and then to know that it took him, he's doing it himself, to get take that long. And I knew we were not going to make our sale date. So I called Dustin the next day and said, we got to cancel our sale. And so I really actually believe that was, it ended up being good. I don't think our bulls would have been quite ready for that March sale. And we kind of learned a lot just kind of arbitrarily before we actually did it. And so what I always kind of thought was, if I can put together 40 good solid bulls, you know, that's enough, I think, for people to pick and buy from. So when we started hitting that number of, we've got 40 bulls that are ready to go, you know, and go to work for people, we need to move to a production sale. So that was kind of our sweet spot, was like, if we could get 40 solid bulls, I thought we could move to that.
Well, and that's about the number that I hear tossed around pretty frequently, is that 40, 45 range. So you're right in there.
Yeah. And really, and honestly, you know, we've got, so there's a couple other, you know, people in the sale, Jonathan Wolf Black Herefords, Matt Bolte is in the sale, and Jenkins Cattle Company. And they've kind of partnered with Night Shift Farms on a few of them that are in it. And it really truly still is a production sale. It's not really consignment. It's just something that we kind of all dreamed up and always had that dream together of doing this. And Matt would have had more lots in it, but they went through, I think, like a 500-year drought in the last 2 years. And so he didn't keep hardly any of his bulls. And so, you know, that was really kind of sad, because he was kind of one of the main players and drivers of this, was let's do this together. And so he's got a couple of lots in, but I knew we could put together a good group of bulls. And we didn't want to you know, put too many in. You know, I thought if we could set around 45, 50 with everybody, then we'd be okay. And then we've also learned some lessons along the way of like, okay, sometimes things are going to have some outs, you know, like things just aren't going to work out on those bulls. Specifically like BSEs.
Oh yeah. You're always culling right up to the end. At least if you're doing it right, you're culling right up to the end.
Yeah. So we've got another vet appointment 13th, to get some more of those bulls passed. And cause we're only going to put out something that it's quality. And if, you know, if that means we have 10 outs, we got 10 outs, but you know, I'm hopeful it's not going to be that way.
So it sounds like you have known for at least, I mean, really 2 years that this was what you were going to do. How much time would you say you need it ahead of time to have made that final decision? Yes, we're going to do a production sale so that you can begin that process.
To be honest with you, we started talking about it 4 years ago. Like, you know, and we were going to do it last year. So it would have been technically 3 years of what we really thought, like, okay, we're building to this. We need to get our feed program down. You know, we need to make sure we're getting, you know, quality cattle out there. And so it really was a, you know, kind of a 3-year development of, okay, we're going to do it now. Either we do it now or it's never going to happen, you know, kind of situation. And I'll be honest with you, there have been a lot of times when I'm like, nope, we're just going to call it off. Like, this is it's a lot.
What has surprised you most so far?
I would say probably the thing that surprised me the most is the amount of prep work on the cattle, getting them ready for picture day, for video day, which we've always taken pictures, but it's just been Caitlin and I. You know, we'll go out in the pen and we'll take pictures till we get a good one. We'll clean them up a little bit, but the amount and the extent of torching, clipping, you know, re-cleaning them after it was muddy. We were out actually before picture day. We were trying to get everything ready. And that was when we had that negative 35 wind chill. Oof. And we had no choice. Like, we had to get them clipped and trimmed because we knew when picture day was.
Right.
And so it's kind of that, you know, before when you're private treaty, it's like, oh, that's cold. I'll wait a couple of days. You know, there's no big deal. But now, you know, when you get deadlines, I think that's the most, that's been probably something that's been the most stressful, is hitting those deadlines and making sure it looks good, you know.
Talk to me about how you decided on both your location and your date.
Well, the date's actually a really easy story. So I called Dustin and I said, because I knew I wanted to use Dustin Layton. He's familiar with the Black Herefords. And so I called him and he's like, well, and we got Andy Marston has done all our pictures and videos. So he's actually been kind of right there alongside Dustin this whole time doing this with us. And I said, I want to use you because I know what you do. I want to use one of the best. And he said, okay, your picks are March 3rd or March 17th or like April 20th. And I'm like, I'm not waiting till April. I'm not beating these bulls all the way to April. So it just happened that, you know, we just picked March 17th and it actually aligned at the end of our spring break. Cause I teach and coach. And so I've got the whole week off prior to it to do final prep, you know, set up pins. And that was just kind of the natural date was, you know, next year, I think we'll probably try to keep it the same, same weekend, same Sunday. It's like the third Saturday in March. And it'll start my spring break. So then afterwards, I can like relax after.
I think it helps when sales pick a specific, you know, first Friday, third Saturday, whatever, and stick to it.
Yes.
I think that yeah. really helps the buyers with that consistency.
Yeah. And I kind of, you know, Jane and Ranch Dirk and Joe have always been that second Saturday of February. Everybody knows that.
Right.
And so, you know, once you get it out there and then all of a sudden now your advertising gets easier too, because you're just third Sunday in March.
Right.
So everybody knows, doesn't matter what day, just third Sunday in March. And so that was kind of part of the deal that Dustin and I talked about originally, was let's pick a date and kind of stick to that time frame. Maybe not the specific 17th, but whatever that Sunday falls on.
Talk to me about where you guys are doing it at. I know, you know, there's a lot of people that'll use a local sale barn. There's all sorts of facilities available. How did you mm-hmm. decide? How did you pick where you wanted to do this?
So, you know, our local sale barn has a sale on Fridays. And I knew we wanted to use a weekend. And that when I talked to him, and this was three or four years ago, they were like, well, you could do a Sunday. That'd give us a day to get everything out and get it cleaned up. And I didn't really want to follow up a cattle sale, you know, right after it with a sale to sale barn. And then my cousin told me, he's like, well, I'm going to be building a big barn. I'm like, well, do you want to have a sale in it? And he said, well, yeah, sure. And so that's kind of what started the process. And he's got his beautiful setup, got a really nice place, 40 acres, you know, it's going to be a nice big red barn. I think it's 20 foot tall. You know, it's definitely something I'd like to have on my place, but with it's 8 miles from me and it's not that far of a drive and we run right. cattle together anyway. So it was just natural to pick that. It's a place where, you know, people can be comfortable. He inlaid the floor with water line so he can heat the floor. So, it'd be comfortable even if it's a cool day. I don't think that's going to be ready to go yet. That'll be next year's sale, but it's there.
Well, hopefully in the middle of March, you won't need it.
The way this March has been, I would say we probably won't, but then who knows? It's Kansas, so.
Knock on wood as you say that.
Right, exactly. And really, it's kind of it's off a paved road. So that's nice. You know, nobody has to drive down gravel. If anybody wants to just drive a car down, we're offering free delivery on any purchase over $4,000. So if somebody just wants to drive down and come to sale without bringing a trailer, you know, we're going to bring it right to you. So that was kind of the deciding factor, was location. You know, it's pretty easy to get to and it's available, and we don't have to pay a sale barn fee. I mean, he does, he's building it, but.
So talk to me about how you're going to actually run the sale. In the last few years, we've seen a lot of people really experiment and try different ways to run their sales. Are you guys running cows through? Do you have a ring set up? Are you going to have a TV in there? How are you making this work?
So that was an honest debate up until about a month ago. Are we running cattle in? Or are we not going to run cattle in? And with it being our first, we decided that we're not going to run cattle in. We're going to have two big projectors on either side of, so it should be like a 10 by 12, like, you know, projection on the wall plus a TV. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have round tables. We're going to have a lounge, so everybody will be down low and be able to see. And a lot of that comes to, you know, if we ever want to go to running cattle in, I think it's easier to make that transition than it is for people to get used to seeing cattle run in and they're not happy.
And then pull them out.
So that was some of our, And you have been to sales and I've been to sales where you have cattle who don't act their normal selves when they get in the ring. And that is a decrease in value. And I know our cattle would be fine going in, but just on happenstance that, you know, that best animal comes in and freaks out, you know, that to me, getting to see them out in a pen setting where you can walk around is just about as good as seeing them run through a ring anyway. And logistically, it was going to add more expense to the sale of getting them into the sale ring.
Yep. A lot more people are needed.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think it was something like when we were counting of how we were going to have to set up and do it, we were going to need 10, at least 10 in the back running it to make them come in right. And those 10 would have been us family members, and they want to experience it. They want to see the sale.
Well, you need to be in there shaking hands and kissing babies, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I didn't want the Wolves or the Bolties or, you know, anybody that's in it to feel like they need to be out there and not getting the experience watching their first animal sell, you know, in the sale. So that was kind of what led to our decision to go with a TV and a couple projectors and, you know, not run them in through the ring.
I'm seeing more and more guys go that route, you know, every year. Mm-hmm. I see fewer sales that are actually running them through. And, you know, I've heard some auctioneers argue that your momentum is better when they're coming in, that, you know, it's easy for them to keep people excited, but they're not paying the bills at the end of the day.
Right. So. And I've also seen sales where, you know, people, you know, don't get cattle in quickly, and then you lose all that. And there's a lull, and then it's an awkward time to fill. And so it kind of can be a catch 22. And to be honest, like, we were going to be inexperienced running cattle into a ring. And that was, you know, and I don't want to be mad at family members or any friends because they're not getting a cow in, you know? So that was a lot of the decision was, you know, let's make this as simple and, you know, effective as possible. So that way everybody has a good experience, us as sellers, buyers, you know, in the end of the day, I think that's kind of what it's about, is having a good experience.
How has your marketing shifted as you've gone from private treaty into production sale?
You know, it costs more.
I believe it.
Yeah, it really does. You know, as far as, because typically, you know, private treaty, we're just pushing Facebook.
Right.
I mean, that's been our biggest marketing tool, and we're still doing that with the sale. It's kind of pushed me to be out on Facebook more, which has been good. But, you know, now we're in some print magazines, you know, in the local areas. We printed off sale flyers, and I sent Dad on probably a 200-mile round trip, putting up sale flyers all around, you know, the area.
Mm-hmm.
My sister's heading on vacation to South Kinden, Arkansas, and I've got like 12 left. And I was like, don't come home with any of these. Like, you put them all the way down into Arkansas. And so it's just been kind of a, like, how can we reach the most people effectively situation and cost effectively?
Yeah. Well, and you know, print is always a tricky one. It's hard to decide.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's.
Yeah.
But I will say your catalog seems to have turned out well. I've got it. It showed up in the mail, and that puts you ahead of a lot of the guys this year who have able to get delivery on those. So congratulations.
Well, on the catalog, the only thing I can take credit on really is the footnotes. because, you know, like I said, Andy did the pictures. They sent it off and got it done. I think Barber is doing it. And I've had so many compliments on this. And that's one of the things I really wanted to do was, you know, not just for myself, but for the breed as a whole, was put something out there that is going to represent. So when somebody who's not a Black River breeder picks it up, they're like, oh, you know, this is a good catalog. Like, this looks, you know, like it's been professionally done. We want to
say that
sure
louder for the people in
pictures.
The back. It helps the whole breed when we look professional and put out pictures that are quality, that show our animals for what we are. Amen.
Yes. And that's the thing is like, it's going to kind of maybe feel like bragging, but that's probably the thing we've got compliment on the most so far is the catalog and how it represents, you know, and we've got some other good catalogs in the breed, but I just really felt like, you know, how they put this together, just, you know, kind of nailed it, you know, and when they sent me the first proof, I was like, I never even imagined it would turn out as well as it did, you know, aside from, you know, a few corrections, I'm like, leave it. Like, it looks beautiful. And so that's one of the biggest things I think we've taken from this is not just doing this for ourselves. Like, okay, if we're going to put a picture out there and this is going to be, you know, featureable, you know, when somebody looks at it, they need to say, oh yeah, that could be a featureable if he was solid black or if he was red and white, you know, that's what we wanted to put out there is, you know, that we are players in the industry, you know, as a Black Hereford, as a breed.
And it can be so hard to do it that way because it's really trying on your patience. We just pictured a week ago today, actually, and I don't have my pictures yet, but I've got people asking questions. And it's so tempting to just go out into the pasture and snap a picture of that bull. And it's hard to stop yourself and to say, no, I need these pictures that are going to best represent this animal. And I'm going to have patience. Patience is not my strong suit. So.
Well, I will tell you, like, we're waiting on the videos to go up right now. And like, I want them so badly because I want to put them out there for people to see. And I'm like, and that is hard because people ask and they do want to see them, which is nice because they're interested. But typically if I was private treating, I would just say, when I get home from school, I'll run out, I'll snap a new one, I'll send you a video and we'll be done. But there's 5-10 bulls in the background of this video. And so, you know, it doesn't look like these videos are going to look, so you can, you know, really hone in on that individual bull. And so I've had to be extremely patient because there's some good bulls that aren't pictured. Jonathan Wolf's bulls are just outstanding. Like they are really, really good. He was supposed to get, I think we were going to picture 4 of his 6 and they got snowed in and snow drifted in for picture day. And they barely got out in time to get torched and clipped. In time to have them be videoed this weekend, just so they had a few weeks off on the torching and clipping. So it's been very interesting and patience. You definitely have to have patience. And you also have to not stress the whole picture. I think that's the one thing I was talking to Caitlin the most about this was when we first started this, I knew all of these tasks we had to do. And so when you look at every task, it looks like a giant mountain. Like, it looks like, how are we ever going to get everything ready to go? And then now we've gotten into it. It's okay. We clipped and trimmed all the bulls, which next year we were going to change that. I'm going to pay someone. I have learned that. And so we did that. And then we had it 2 weeks until pictures. And then we redid everything for videos. In the meantime, I had time to write the footnotes, which is crazy. Writing 70 footnotes, it's like you feel like you say the same thing over and over again. But I guess that's also a testament to consistency. Yes. Like, if you continue to say the same things over and over, your program is working.
Yes.
And so really, like, it's spaced out enough now that looking back on it, I shouldn't have been as stressed out as I was in the beginning. But you don't know. Like, I had no idea. like what everything entailed. You know, I'd be nervous that, you know, Andy or Dustin would call me and be like, hey, have you done this yet? And so I'd constantly text and be like, should I be doing anything? Like, do I need to be doing anything? And so, and that's been like the craziest, is like just getting to this point where, you know, we're within 2 weeks and it's going to happen regardless. Like, it's no matter what ends up, it's coming Sunday. And then Monday is going to come around and it is going to be what it is.
Well, and it's going to be great. If an online sale is more your style, then this sponsor is someone you should know about. Ranch HQ is your sale, your way. No commissions, no ads for other sales during yours, no wondering how many bidders are signed up, or wishing you had a full list of people to add to your mailing list after the sale. Ranch HQ leaves all the sale decisions, all of the data, and far more of your profits in your hands. You get to customize your sale. That's truly your sale. Ranch HQ will make a website specific to your sale. No ads in the margins. You can track if bidders are signing up, saving yourself that last minute, is anyone coming, panic. If you're ready to quit the private treaty game, but want to keep costs down, an online sale might be just the ticket, and Ranch HQ might be just the platform. You can learn more at ranchhq.app or shoot them an email at contact@ranchhq.app. Ranch HQ, your sale, your way.
Well, that's what we're really hoping for, you know, and it's, everybody always talks about that first sale and being nervous, and you don't really know what they mean until you're here. And you're like, okay, are we going to still be able to have a Black Hereford herd after the sale happens? You know, because there's, when you think about it, you know, private treaty wise, we were averaged last year about, I think it was like $3,850 a bull private treaty. And, you know, you get nervous, like, okay, well, why would you ever do anything crazy like a production sale when you're doing that? But that's also, you know, taking into account the extra feed for having so long, you know, the hour, countless hours on the phone, you know, right, trying to push bulls. And so it's kind of like, you know, whatever, and I told Caitlin, you know, whatever the Lord decides we need to do, we're going to know Sunday night what that is. Like, are we gearing up for next year, prepping already? Because knowing what I know now, we will start prepping now for next year, kind of, you know,
right,
start thinking about what bulls we're going to do. You know, are we going to change our feed program any? Which we're not going to tweak that much, because I feel like we're pretty locked in on, you know, we don't have silage. So we do, you know, we feed our bulls some DDG and corn and soybean meal, and our bulls don't fall apart. So I don't really want to mess with that, you know.
Right.
And I told someone this other day, and like, it's a good thing there's like, I'm sitting at a wooden table, because of all the bulls we've sold, we've had one come back, you know, and I don't want to change that just by trying to hit 1200 pounds,
right,
by sale day, you know.
Yes.
And that's something I don't want to do. And, you know, we've got our fall group of bulls who are setting right about that right now, but you know, you have fall bulls.
Yes.
It just is different. You know, they go out on pasture, you feed them a little, you know, you feed them to keep them going, but you don't push them for 12 months.
Yeah.
You know, you push them here at the end before the sale. And so they look good and they're ready to go. It's just, you know, fine tuning some things, and as long as we're going to have another one next year, if it all goes well, then there's things we can, you know, do a little bit better. But I'm excited. Caitlin's excited. Mom and Dad are excited. I think my uncle, he's a partner on some of the stuff. He's nervous, but.
The thing that always catches me is thinking about, well, on private treaty, I can always pull the plug on a sale, right? If somebody is lowballing, yep, me, I can walk, yep, away and say, I'll fight another buyer.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. And to be honest with you, we are going to have a floor on the bulls, just specifically.
Well, let's be honest.
The market,
everyone
the
does.
Market,
even if they
that
say,
yeah,
they don't, they do.
Yeah.
There's always a floor.
Look at the sell barn right now. You know,
yeah,
you take a 1200
oh, yeah,
pound bull there and you're at 2400 bucks basically right now. So like, to me, it's like, we need to be realistic on what bulls are worth, you know? And I think, I don't know, I've seen a lot of places always talks about, like, you know, the bulls worth five calves at weaning time. Well, right now that's like, you guys just sold calves, didn't you?
Yes.
Like, did you like 347 a pound?
Yes.
Like, yeah. So like, you know, what's a bull really worth right now?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we're not expecting that by any means, but I think we have good cattle and they deserve, you know, deserve the little bit of value to them. So.
This year, I think, is going to be an interesting year. It started off really strong so far, which is great. Yep. The cattle market is great, but we also know nationwide, the cow herd is down.
Yes.
You know, there's just not as many cows out there. So I think it's going to be a really, really interesting year. And I'm excited that you guys, that your sale is so soon. Usually I moan about how it feels like in the seed stock industry, we keep pushing our sales up early and earlier. Everybody wants to be the first. You know, I don't remember there being sales in February. And now I see some advertised in the end of January. But I think this year, those guys that are getting cleaned out before April are probably going to look like the guys that were on top of it.
Right. And to be honest with you, we could, we have mostly into February and the March. And so if we're going to have yearling bulls in the cell, like we can't go any earlier. I mean, that just, you cut out a really good group of bulls that are born at the end of March, you know? And so we've got some really good end of the March bulls in the cell. And I know if we'd have been in February, we would not have been able to sell them, or even really maybe even the first part of March. But yeah, so that was kind of a sweet spot. And I kind of looked at it like, you know, there's always been production sales. There's always going to be some before you. There'll always be some after you. It really is. If you can just put out a good product and get people to come back, that's the most important thing.
So did you have conversations with some of your frequent flyers, your repeat buyers, and talk to them about the transition? And how did you approach that with them?
You know, this is what's really kind of odd in this kind of area is there's not a lot of really big ranches around us. We sell a lot of ones and two bulls, but it's one bull and then they come back 3 years later, you know? So it's not like we don't, you know, I know out West, you know, Brock always talks about selling 10 bulls to one guy.
Right.
And so those guys come back every year, sell 10 bulls. So to me, for him, you know, it doesn't make sense because you're selling, you know, chunks of bulls all the time.
Right.
But back here where it's ones and twos, you know, ones and twos. And I think the most bulls we've ever sold at once, I think we sold 8 bulls to Western Kansas. And now I spoke to, actually, it's Dustin Hamill in Western Kansas. He shares a lot of my posts. And I believe if he has a good group of bred heifers next year, we're going to let him consign some commercials into it.
I love that. That's a whole nother rabbit hole, but I love it. Love it. Love it.
Yes. Yeah. And because I mean, and he absolutely loves our bulls and he sends me pictures all the time. And I really need to do a better job of like sharing them when he sends them to me, but he, his cattle are beautiful and I know they're coming from our bulls. And so I was like, absolutely. You know, we might start off with 5 or 10, you know, commercial bred heifers at the end of the sale. And because, you know, that's what our bulls are producing. So of course we want to see them come back and be sold. So kind of, he's kind of been my big buyer. And so we talked a little bit about it and he thought he was all for it, you know, especially if he got the opportunity to sell some breads. And so that was kind of really the only people outside of ABHA members, you know, or family that we talked to on it.
Yep. I've kind of started dropping that hint to some of our guys that have been with us forever, you know, and just tried to feel it out. Would you bid?
See
where it goes. Because it's tricky. You don't want to lose your guys that you've always had.
Yes. Yeah. And really, like some of the guys that I've talked to, I've told them, like, you know, you could get a bull cheaper than you've ever gotten. Like, that's just the reality of the situation.
We all hope you don't, but you could.
I hope not. Right. I hope that it's way better than I've ever done. But the reality is we just don't know. And so don't just assume that it's going to go super high because it's auction, you know, come bid, see what's there. And, you know, and you're going to get to see. And that's the other thing I told some of them was by the time stuff gets around, sometimes 10 bulls are sold before you make contact. So you never get the first 10 bulls. So now you're going to come and you're going to get to see all 47 bulls at once. And you're going to have the opportunity to buy what you feel is whatever you feel is the best bull. And that's kind of, you know, the other,
that's one of the big,
everybody's seen them at once.
Yeah. That's one of your big benefits is you don't have somebody come in and swoop in off your top ones right off the bat. At HI/Cattle Company, we call ourselves Cattle with Grit. It's more than a pithy play on our location in the heart of the Nebraska Sandhills. It's an ethos on the cattle we raise. As generational cow-calf operators, we know bulls have to thrive for years without being babied in order to keep a herd profitable. We need them to breed and maintain with minimal fuss, whether it's a perfect year or a rough one. We need bulls with grit. The bulls available this year are truly a testament to Cattle with Grit. We decided to put our genetics to the test by getting a little crazy and raise these bulls with the same inputs and expectations as our commercial calves. These guys didn't receive a lick of grain until well after they were yearlings. And you know what? They performed with above breed average performance EPDs. But it's better than that. They are phenotypically sound and as consistent as you will find. Curious about our program? Head over to hislashcattle.com to check us out and give us a follow on Facebook. HI/cattle are Cattle with Grit.
Yeah, and that was actually another thing is we had I had two people that messaged me and said, what would it take to buy a bull prior to sale? And,
oh boy.
You know, that's tempting, but you can't, you know, right. Because you know, they're going to come in, they're going to pick the best two bulls.
Yep.
And now you just took the top two bulls off your sale. And so, you know, it was really hard to pass up that money in that scenario, because so for us, when we trained, we kind of took some of our 18 month old bulls and we're moving to the sale. We lost a whole fall's, you know, revenue. And so we've been like pinching pennies to get to this point because we don't have that group of 12 fall yearlings we would have sold. So it's been like, you know, scraping by a little bit, but, you know, not cutting any corners on anything. And so I think that's been, which will be nice because we won't have to worry about that next year because we'll be back on track and we'll kind of know what we have to budget. And, but yeah, this has been very interesting as far as like trying to make things work when you lose that revenue. And our heifers, we always sold our heifers at weaning time. So we're carrying 24 heifers that we never have had before through the winter into the sale.
This is the year to do it though. I think you're going to be on fire with those heifers.
I hope so. You know, we put a lot of work into our herd maternally. And I think that's where we really kind of try to separate ourselves is to make sure, you know, our cows are good uddered. We want longevity. You know, we've got I'll tell you right now, it's lot 20 in the sale, lot 20 in the sale. And his mom is 13 years old. Her first calf was a Hereford. And so she has 11 in the database and she's setting at a 109 winning ratio. Like that's the kind of cow, yeah. You know, that's the heifers we want. Now, granted, she's had 11 bulls and two heifers and we sold her very first heifer. So I've tried to buy her back many times and it was like, I think it was her second calf and she's still knocking out of the park as a 10 year old. And so those are that's what we really want to build is those bulls that produce those females that stay forever. Cause you know, once a cow gets like 7, 8, 9, 10, she's making money at that point.
Well, and I just love when I hear a producer that's got a philosophy and a plan and is being very intentional about what they're breeding. I think that shines through in your program. And I think it's really important.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And to be honest with you, really Brock Johansson and Joe Bulls, like from the very beginning, when we first met, I think it was spring of 2013. He talked about have a program. And I don't think I really understood what that meant until about year 8 of what really truly having a program means. And so what I've done from that point on is like the Wolf Black Herefords, like we preach a program, which is why I'm okay having their cattle on the sale, because I know they're running the same type of program, same mentality. Matt Bolte, same thing, you know, buying excellent genetics, you know, bringing good stuff into the herd, Jenkins Cattle Ranch, like, that's the biggest thing is, you know, we had some people asked to be in the sale and it was really hard because I think at the beginning when it kind of got out there that it thought it was kind of a consignment deal and it's really not, you know, it's a production sale for the four of us. And that is kind of the, the hard thing is to tell people that be like, no, I'm sorry. Like, not this year. Like, you know, these guys are running the same program. They've been doing it for 5 years. Very similar minded genetically, similar mindset on, you know, defects, which is another thing that was interesting is, how many times you see cell catalogs where every single animal is an approved herd sire. And that's kind of a tough stigma to get away from. But what people need to realize is some of us who aren't doing that, you know your cow herd. So I know who carries a defect or who doesn't carry a defect. So if we're not testing the bull for something, they don't have it. You know, it's not in their pedigree.
I think it goes beyond that too. We don't do it because most of our bulls are going to commercial guys. So yes. I'm not going to do that unless it's necessary. I would be happy to make any bull an approved herd sire. You just holler, you let me know. I know you're the same. Yes. It just seems like one of those things that it's, well, let's cross that bridge when I know you need it, because the commercial guy doesn't need that.
No. And that, I feel like that's kind of like is a seed stock producer's responsibility is to make sure your cattle are clean so you can sell your cattle that way. You know, with that, the new DB defect coming out right before the sale. So that was awesome. But, you know, we got our stuff in, we know we had one bull pop and one heifer pop, you know? And so, but that, I felt like that was our responsibility since that came on so late to go ahead and test everything that we knew could. But as far as the other defects, they've been around long enough and we know our cow herd good enough that everything has DNA on file. So if you want to make him an approved herd sire, it's 4 weeks and we know we're going to be clean because their genetics are clean. And, you know, I think that's one of the toughest stigmas because, you know, there was a push a few years back of every animal that goes into a sales approved herd sire, and it just didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
You just need to be a responsible seed stock producer, you know, and know your own herd.
Well, and that's where I would encourage buyers too. Just get to know the people you're buying from.
Yes.
You know, all it takes is one phone call to feel that program out and know whether or not it's something you should be concerned about.
Yeah. I actually had a text message conversation about whether or not this bull is approved herd sire. And I said, no, it's not. But, you know, we run 2 or 3 multi sire herds. And so everything always has DNA on file.
Right.
You need to know who the parent is. Yeah. So I'm like, it's 4 weeks guaranteed 100% not to be a carrier of any of the ABHA recognized defects. But yeah, so that's been another thing because, you know, you start talking about testing 100 bulls, that's another $7,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not necessary when I know my cow herd.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, why don't you give us all the details on your sale? I want to hear which lots you're most excited about and plug away.
Yeah, definitely. So it's going to be Sunday, March 17th at 1 p.m. At my cousin at Hidden Rock Ranch at his sale facility, his barn. Like I said, we're going to offer free delivery on purchases that total over 4,000, and that includes heifers, even though some people call me crazy for that. And I don't know why, because
the price is not the my price. Doing,
right. A price is a price. So that's, we're doing that. And really, to be honest with you, it's hard to pick one lot that I'm most excited about, but the lot 18 bull, and he's Headers Agus Black. And I know some people will get turned off by that right away, but quality is quality.
100%. Say that one louder again, too.
Yeah, he is an outlier in the best ways possible. I think he adjusted at 705 pounds, and that's not creep feed. That's on fescue and cow. So it's a legit, like it's a nice weight for us. I think he's setting somewhere right around 1,200 pounds as a yearling, and just with the same feed as all the rest of the bulls, and he's also Henry's bull. So he's my son's bull. And from the day he was born, you could just tell there was something a little different. Whoop Black Herefords has, and I didn't actually get to see these bulls until Sunday. And the lot 13 bull and the lot 12 bull are outstanding. I mean, just they are bulls that can go in anybody's herd, commercial, registered, and make an impact. There's a lot 39 bull. He's out of an ET calf that we bought from Brock and the bull that we call the Hulk. And a little story on the Hulk. So his sire, Joe Fortress 8220. He kind of got a limp when he was a yearling, and you know, we didn't think he bred anything. And so he was in another bull, an older bull. And as he, what happened was, is he kind of got injured. His stick kind of went in his leg, and he never really kind of got better from that one. And so in the fall, I was talking to Brock, like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, well, is he walking any better? And I was like, well, he walks, but he's got a limp and it was on his front foot. And so we decided just to go ahead and, you know, take him to cell barn. And we got our DNA results back on the calves the next spring, and he bred 20, I think it was like 16 of the registered and 8 of the commercial as a yearling in a herd of 40 cows. And so I tried to call the cell barn. I tried to find where this bull went, could never find him. And so we ended up picking the son out and he has done really well with him. And the 3710 bull, you know, homozygous black, homozygous polled, you know, approved herd sire. He's ready to go. His birth weight's a little high. It's, you know, it's like, I think he's 95 or 96 pounds.
That's not scary high though.
But it's not. And the reality is I was fortunate enough to watch this calf be born, and he was born in 5 minutes and he was eating in 20.
Well, and if you can't calve a 95-pound calf, you've got a cow problem, not a bull problem, not a birth weight problem.
That's like a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I could talk on that one for a long time. So we're selling half interest in this lot 48 heifer. She's out of our bull. We had, his name was Black Sox. And that bull is a bull that I sold too soon. Sold him to Matt Bolte, actually. And I wish I had him back every day.
Are you catching a theme here, Chad?
Stop selling my good bulls. No. And so he kept him around until he was 2. Then we actually AI'd, we got the fall pick on the Genesis heifers. She was one of the first Genesis heifers to be out there. So we partnered with Matt and Jenkins on this cow, and then we flushed her. And this is just, she's one of my favorite heifers we've ever had. And that's why we're only doing half interest on her, kind of a donor lot situation, you know, and we'll kind of announce the terms sale day, but we'll either split flushes or alternate flushes on her. I'm really excited about what she's going to bring to the ABHA. And, you know, really, you know, then you go on to just those open heifers. And, well, I guess the two bred heifers are really cool. They're bred to a bull that we got from the 77 Ranch in Oklahoma, Reggie Willits. It's an Ellison son. And he's outstanding. And both these heifers are homozygous black. So you're going to have a black calf out of them. And super cool pedigree. And then really on the open heifers, it's kind of like, pick what you feel like you like the best. You know, everyone offers a little bit something different. Some calving ease, got some power heifers. Really like Jonathan brought his heifers down. You could pick any one of his heifers or all of them, and you could start with an amazing herd. Matter of fact, like, you probably shouldn't even look at, I think it's lot 202, because I actually really like that one. So I might want to try to get that one, so everybody kind of ignore her. So he's got some amazing heifers, and then just, you know, our yearling open heifers, you know, they're ready to go. Lot 62, she is a beautiful broody cow. You know, the day we took those pictures, it was actually cloudy, and so they didn't really pop like they should. But lot 62, there's another one, lot 59. We picked up her mother from the K-State sale a few years ago, and honestly, it was a steal. You know, the market was kind of down on Herefords, and so we picked up quite a few from them of their good cows, and she's just been really good, solid cow for us. And this daughter out of that Rockwell bull is she's a standout in the group. She's kind of one of my favorite heifers from our group. That's in the lot 62. But other than that, you know, and then, you know, Matt Bolte's got a couple embryo lots in. I have, and I need to get a video of the heifer or a picture and get it posted, because I have a actual sister to these embryos, and she's a beautiful heifer. It was either lot 48 or her that we were going to do a half interest on. But you know, I kind of like the goggle eyes a little bit more on the 48, because she's got no pigment in her eyes. And I know some people really like that, but she's no less of a heifer. So those embryo lots are really good. And then I'm pretty sure that this is the last time this year that the Rocket Bull from Burns Farm is going to have semen offered for sale on those five semen lots. And you talk about a bull that should have an impact. You know, I've got to see him down at Matt's place, and he's a real deal. So that's going to be five really, really good semen lots from that bull.
Well, the catalog looks great and the cattle look great.
Thank you.
Where can people go if they want to find out some more information?
So liveauctions.tv is going to host the sale. So all the videos are going to go live there. That's probably where we'll post our supplement sheet when we kind of get all the weights updated on the yearling bulls, any other details. And then, of course, our website, CrescentHillBlackHereford.com. It's got the sale catalog online posted there, too.
And look them up on Facebook. Sires. Chad's real good Facebook. About posting stuff on Facebook.
Yeah. And I've gotten better because of the sale. You know, for a while, it was like post for some calves, post some bulls for sale, but, you know, kind of getting better, being a little more active on Facebook. But that's kind of where we got information. And you can call any of us anytime. You know, we got our numbers at the front of the catalog under the sale day contacts. You know, we know our cattle in and out. So if you have questions, we're more than happy to answer them. You know, we all love talking cattle. I mean, that's just when you get into it and you start producing and being a seed stock producer, commercial guy, you know your cows. So feel free to call us anytime.
Well, thank you so much and good luck on your sale. We're all really excited to see how it goes down. I'm just sure it's going to be a great day.
Well, I appreciate it, Jen. Thank you for letting me come on and talk about it and kind of share my experiences of, you know, first time production sales. So
absolutely. This episode was sponsored by Walters Cattle Farm down in Kentucky. Robert and Sandy have been longtime Black Hereford members and breeders. Their tireless work and unshakable support for American Black Herefords was genuinely instrumental in getting the breed where it is today. If you're looking to add some depth and muscle to your Black Herefords, make sure you take a look at what Walters Cattle Farm has going. You can find them on Facebook by searching Walters Cattle Farms or give Robert a call at 270-832-1180. Thanks for listening. You can get in on the conversation over at our Facebook page at Black Hereford Chronicles, where we'd love to hear from you. Of course, don't forget to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts.